Yesterday we saw the Ran, and we came up with, I think it was 9 nafkaminas between the Ran and Tosus on how to define bittul. What I'd like to, you know, spend a little time on is an essay here in the Otzer Hayuni, in which he analyzes the Ran, but he also brings in a lot of other material. Now, it's a gigantic article. I didn't realize it was so long. It's 15 pages long. Yechiel is being kind enough to try to print it up for us. It's here in the back in the Masifta. It's called the Otzer HaYuni. So I'm just going to, in the meantime, get started. Hopefully, we'll have the pages very short.
Where?
Otzer HaYuni in the back of the Masifta.
Okay.
And I just got a hold of this Masifta in the last 48 hours, but I didn't get a chance to open it yet. And he writes the following. He says that the Iser Chametz has two lavim and a mitzvah aseh. And the Gemara explains that through Bittul Chametz, you can be makayim the mitzvah of the Torah. And the question is, what does that mean? So the Rishonim are going to have a major machlokas here about how to understand the phrase in the Gemara, "Bebitul bi'alma sagilit." So Yosef, you weren't here when I announced that some of the pages are coming out of the machine. So if you can bear with me. Where are you from, by the way? You're not from Muncie, are you? No, because a fellow came by here today and he's from Muncie, New York. Anyway, he says the following, that some Rishonim identify Bittul as Hefker, we saw that in the Bali HaTosfos, and others say that it's just a Hachlata, he says, it's just a decision, B'daito, that his Chometz has no value to him. It's considered like Ofer in his mind. So he says the following, there's going to be a machlokes about whether or not Tashbisu is the source for Bittul. According to one group of Rishonim, we'll soon see who they are, they claim that when it says Tashbisu in the Torah, it means Bittul. And when the Torah says Lo Yiralecha, that's a lav. And other Rishonim say no, that Tashbisu does not include Bittul. Bittul is not a physical destruction of the object, and therefore that's not Tashbisu. Tashbisu requires physical destruction. And therefore, according to those shittas, Bittul only works to protect you from Bayirah Bayimatsu. It's not a kiyum mitzvah of Tashbisu. So when the Gemara says, Midaraisa b'bittul v'almasagi, we can interpret that in two ways. The way Rashi understands b'bittul v'almasagi is that Bittul is a kiyum, it's a mitzvah of Tashbisu. And he quotes Targum Ukulis that the word Tashbisu means bittul, tevatul. And that's called Hashbasa Balik. Thanks. Tosfos, on the other hand, says no. We don't find that there's an option of bittul as a kiyum mitzvah of Tashbisu. Tashbisu requires Srefa, and he brings many proofs to that conclusion. Therefore, the source for bittul is only Lo Yiro Lecha, Shalcha Iyata Roeh. But in the case of Bittul, which is Hefker, then you're protected from Bal Yiro Bayimatz. So far, we're pretty much on solid ground. Everything that we've said now reflects what we've seen in the past. There are two ways of going with Bittul. One is Eino Rotzeh B'Kiyumo. He means Lo Nichole, I don't want it. And that's a magical formula called Bittul. And that is going to be, according to Rashi, a kiyum of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The other way of saying it is that Bittul is just Hefker, and it protects you from Bayiro Bayimotzeh. Thank you so much. If there's an extra copy, I'll take it from my files, because yes, this way...
It'll be a little small, because I didn't...
Right. Okay, I'll do that on my own time, you know, for myself.
Discriminating against senior citizens.
If I had more time, I could have expanded.
Well, how many pages do we have? Six.
We will blame you, okay. Don't worry.
Six pages is more than enough for us. Right. For all more than those ones. Now we're up to the second page. And he quotes the Ramban. the second page, because whatever I told you now is just a summary of the that bottom half of the first page. Now the Ramban, as you know, barrages Tosfos with a number of kashas, and basically his conclusion is that this position that Bittul is identified as Hefker is an untenable position. Nowhere will you find any source in Shas for identifying Bittul as Hefker. And not only that, the requirements of Hefker will not be fulfilled in the case of Bittul. So therefore, the Ramban says that you have to accept Rashi's Shita, and in the context of Rashi, as we said earlier, Bittul is a kiyum of the mitzvah shvasa, and it's Bittul b'lev, which means that once the chametz becomes osur b'hana, the Torah takes it out of your possession, because the suri ha'na eino mamon. And therefore, we don't have to get rid of your ownership of the chametz. We have to get rid of the shame chametz, as we called it, and that's called eino rotza b'kiyumo. He doesn't want the chametz. In the language of the Ramban, it's hiskima daito l'das Torah. The Torah doesn't want you to accept this chametz, and you don't want to accept this chametz. And therefore, you fulfill through this bittul the mitzvah of tashbisa.
But otherwise, Bittul would not be Hefker. Like if I'm a battle of phone, it's not Hefker.
Correct.
It's only because it's not... Really,
and again, I don't want to review all the kashas in the Ramban. It's going to come up a little bit later on in this article. But the Ramban has five questions, and all of them prove that you cannot identify Bittul as Hefker. It just won't work. Now we get to the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita, he says that Bittul Chametz is when a person says that my chametz is considered in my eyes like afar, like the dust of the earth. And it sounds like what the Rambam is saying is identical to what Rashi is saying, that Bittul is not Hefker. And nowhere does the Rambam identify Bittul as Hefker. Now the Gemara says on Daf Dalet Amid Beis that Noshim Avonim Uktanim Nemonim Al Bir Chametz. And the reason why women can be trusted and relied upon to get rid of all the chametz is because midaraisa bebitul ba'masagi. So again, without getting into the issues about nemonis ha'isha in general and what's considered biyado, I mean, that's a whole parsha unto itself. But the Gemara says that through bittul we can reduce all the dimensions of chametz into a derabanan, and we apply the principle of heimamru veheimamru, which means hemnu rabanan b'derabanan. So the rabanan decided who could be trusted on bedikas chametz. So let's say, Jeff, did you say something? So let's say, for example, I rent a house, and I don't know if the maskir, before he left the house, did the bedika or not. If his wife were to testify, for that matter, his child would testify that I know my father did the bedika, the Chacham said we can rely on the child. Again, I'm not going into all the details, when and how old and so forth and so on. And that's all under the conclusion that Bittul Ba'al Masagi, and therefore Hemnu Rabbanon Bitter Rabbanon. But now, if you take a look at a paragraph that starts Midivrei Rashi, he says the following. On the one hand, Rashi holds that the source for bittul is the word tashbisu. And on the other hand, Rashi says that the definition of bittul is hashbasa b'lev. Now, we made a big, gigantic point yesterday about the fact that hashbasa b'lev could not work in hefker. Hefker is a hakna, and we have a principle called varm shebalev enam dvarim. So what fits into a neat package here is the fact that Rashi can identify Hashbasa b'lev as tashbisu, meaning that the Torah recognizes bittul as a kiyum mitzvah of tashbisu because it's hashbasa b'lev, and hashbasa b'lev means not hefker, because that would require a public statement that this is hefker. And not only that, the Ramban claims that hefker would require that you make it accessible to anyone who wants to come and take it. Here, you're not making it accessible. You're just declaring bittul. And the answer is that bittul means that I don't want the Torah to give me back the chametz. and therefore I refuse to accept the chametz, as we discussed at great length yesterday. That's the way I fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The chametz is considered in my eyes as afra diara. I have no interest in this chametz. Let's read the Rambam's language. Mahi hashbasa zu hamura b'torah, hi shiyivat lenu b'libo, v'yachshev oso ke'ofar. Now, so far, so good. You know, if the Rambam would have quit while he's ahead, so to speak, everything would be fine. The Rambam is identifying bittul as offer, that I consider like offer. But then the Rambam writes, v'yosim b'libo she'ein b'rshuso chametz klal. Now, that sounds like hafkas mamon, and that would put the Rambam into the camp of Tosfos, that bittul equals hefker. So we have to get back to the language of the Rambam. The Rambam is sort of like overloads us with so many different elements in Bittul. He starts with Yachshivo Soka Afar, and then he goes on to say that it's Eino Bershuso, and Kol Chomet Bershuso Havile Ka Afar. He goes back again to his first principle, and we don't know exactly what the Rambam means when he says Eino Bershuso. You know, it's Eino Bershuso sounds like, you know, it's no longer mine. And the Torah says, lo yirah lecha.
Or it could mean Eino Bershuso literally, that it's that he got rid of everything from his home.
Yeah, but why does the Rambam feel compelled to add that? It's very confusing. I mean, if the Rambam would have said, yivat lenu b'libo, v'yachshav oso ka'ofar, I think Rashi, you know, Rashi would have been very happy with that. But then, yosin b'libo she'ena b'shuso, it sounds like he's going down Tosus's line of reasoning, that we have to somehow remove our bilus over the chametz. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That it's eino shalo because eino b'shuso.
Yeah.
Maybe the Rambam holds, and we'll get back to this a little later. He has a whole shtickel Torah from Shmuel Rozovsky that there are two elements in bittul. One element is tashbisu, and the other element is to avoid bal yirah by yimotze, and they're not necessarily the same. You can't identify them. So as far as bittul is concerned, in order to achieve these two goals, we need, number one, yachshivenu osoka ofar, and that's the mitzvah of tashbisu. And the Torah recognizes that as a kind of destruction. But on the other hand, we also need to protect you from bal yirah by yimotze. The fact that you are mekayem the mitzvah of tashbisu does not necessarily guarantee that you don't violate bal yirah by yimotze. So it's considered hashbasa, but there's a piece of chametz in your house, you own that chametz, and you might still be liable and violate the Isurim of Bal Yirah Bayimotzi. So the Rambam needs to go a step further, and he adds another element into Bittul. Bittul is also Eino Bershuso, that the Chametz is not his. So not only has he fulfilled the mitzvah of Tashbisu, but he has also avoided the violation of Bal Yirah Bayimotzi. And Bittul can accomplish both goals.
Does the Rambam hold that if you burn Chametz, is the pechem, whatever that's left over from that, does that still have a din of chametz or not?
I think it depends whether it's edible or not. If
it
I
only has to be edible, but what would it be used for something else? I mean, because it's...
Oh, it has another function. You mean it could be like coals for fireplace. I think once it's not edible, then it loses its shem ochel. It is chametz in order to be chametz and generate an isra no, it has to have a shem ochel to it. In fact, we're going to see... This I think you have. Let's see.
But Isra
no,
usually...
One second. Let me just not forget what I wanted to tell you. Do you have page 16 from this article?
Edible object cannot be...
He quotes the Rimi Lunil that what is bittul? Bittul is to be mafkia mitoras ochel.
Period.
And once you mafkia mitoras ochel, again, you have to learn Masechta Uktzin for that, then you're no longer... You're no longer liable for any chametz because it's not chametz. Chametz has to be an ochel. And the Ramban also seems to touch on this, as we'll soon see.
So let's
just try to understand what bittul is, okay? So then, according to both Rashi and the Ramban, bittul is belev. It's hashbasa belev. What is this bittul? So Rashi identifies it as machshivo ka'afar. He considers it like offer. And the Rambam also at the same time says, V'yachshiv oso ka'offer. So through bittul, It's offer. If it's offer, it's not an ochel. Now, Rashi and the Rambam, neither of them say explicitly that bittul accomplishes hafkas shem ochel, but the rimi lunil, which again, I'm not sure if you have that page. If not, I owe it to you. He says, he identifies bittul as it's no longer an ochel.
It's no longer an ochel to you.
And that's enough. As long as you are mafkia the shem ochel, that's enough. Why? Because the Torah says, I'm putting this chametz into your reshus, but it's an ochel, and that makes it chametz. If you decide that it's not an ochel, and you consider it like offer, but again, we have to learn uksim for this, you know, the lot of halachas in what's called tumas ochel, that we'd have to know.
He doesn't have to remove it from his reshus.
Yeah, correct. Okay, now he has a ma'arik. Do you see this on the bottom right column? The Marik, which we saw in the name of the Rimi Lunil, but it's pretty much the same idea. I think they were contemporaries, if I'm not mistaken. No. The Rimi Lunil was way before the Marik. Forget them. Anyway, the Marik says the following. What does it mean, shall seu ke'afra bi'alma? That he declares that his chametz is dust. He says, Havidumyo dahiditran ubitlo.
Tevin.
Correct, in the case of Tevin. Tevin ubitlo. We're talking about a case where his schach in the sukkah is 20 amos and more high, and therefore the schach is possible. So there are two ways in which you could be machshir your sukkah. You could lower the mechitzos, which would mean that you have a problem of tasav lumina osui. So you're going to have to take off the schach and put it back on after you lower the mechitzos. But the Gemara offers another solution to the problem. And that is by raising the ground. How do you raise the ground? You put tevin, straw, on the ground, and then you mevatel it, and it becomes part of the karka. So it's as if the karka now has a height. And in such a way, you reduce the height between the schach and the karka.
But it's still
an osu, yeah. Just one second. Yeah. We're not going to get into tassel and osu, but the Marik wants to use this sugya as a metaphor, so to speak, as an example of bittul. That you can take something that's really metaltalin and you can make it into karka by being mevatel, by declaring that this is part of the karka. And he says, "Kach, so too, efsho levatel sachometz ulachshivo kaofar v'hainu shemevatlo mitoras ochel milios ochel." He quotes a Ralbag to this effect. I don't know why he doesn't quote the Mari Milunil. I'll read to you the language of the Mari, the Rimi Lunil. He says the following. Inyan habitul hu shemevatlo mitoras ochel legamre. It's not considered chametz. Elahavi kemo tit. It's like a piece of cement, so to speak. And basically, he says that's the way bittul operates. That bittul somehow removes the shame ochel. The Ritva is not happy with this. The Maram Chalva has questions on this, and that's the opinion. So this idea, mashri lekof. Mashri lekofer.
If you eat it by mistake, it's okay, right? Because it's you ate like nectar. It's garbage, right?
No, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, for that, you'd really have to know more about uktzin. I mean, it's all based on a sugyan bab metzia that I mentioned yesterday. Ki yitan dumya to ki yutan. You remember that sugyan? So something has a shem ochel only if you agree that it has a shem ochel and machshirin. But again, I don't know if he can eat the chametz. You know, that's not enough. So we have here now a third approach to the way bittul operates. Let's go through it. One approach is Rashi's approach, hashpasa b'lev. The Rambam seems to take this approach as well, and that means he's machshavit ka'ofar, and he doesn't want to have this chametz and own this chametz and have it in his rishus. The other way of understanding is the baliatosis that identified bittul as what? As hefker. And now we have a third approach, which is the Marik and the Rimi Lunil, and they assume that bittul works to be machshavit ka'ofar and to be mafkia the shem ochel. Okay. Fine. That's number one. Now, if you could fast forward to, do you see a paragraph that starts at Tosfos on the left column?
Yeah.
I'm skipping Reb Shmuel Grozovsky for the time being, and he says the following, that according to Tosfos, you have to identify Tashbisu as physical destruction. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva, as we mentioned in the past, proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu is a reference to the Yudalid and not to Yontif itself, because Havara is an Av Malacha. Now, how would Rabbi Akiva know and prove that that Yom HaRishon means Yudalid based on the fact that Havara is an Av Malacha? After all, you can be Mavatal L'chametz. The answer is, Rabbi Akiva's premise is that Tashbisu requires Sreifa, requires destroying the Chametz. Tosfos asks another kasha. Rav Yossi says that Ach is the mitzvah of Tashbisu at the end of Yudal. Now Tosfos says, if the mitzvah of Tashbisu is Bittul, the way Rashi has it, then what does it mean, Sof Yom Yudal, according to Rav Yossi? After all, how can you be Mevatel your Chametz after Zman Isura? Whereas if, according to Rav Yossi, the Torah was Mechadish that you destroy your Chametz, then you could destroy your Chametz even before the end of Yudalit. Now the Ramban tries to defend Rashi against these kashas. Now at this point, do you have the photocopy of Rav Aaron Kahn's notes that I gave out yesterday? Yes? So you take a look at page 18. So we'll put this Otzer Yunim on the side for a minute. The problem is that we have so many cups of water here and they spill. It's my fault, but
short.
So he says the following. The Ramban is of the opinion, I have one more copy here. Oh, okay. I thought I had a copy here.
18, you said?
Page 18.
Okay. Yep.
The Ramban is of the opinion that, like Rashi, Bittul is a kiyum of mitzvahs tashbisu. That's a little bit problematic, because if you recall from our discussion yesterday, if you weren't here yesterday, I'll try to summarize it very quickly. The Ramban starts with Eino Rotza B'Kiyumo, but at the end the Ramban says that that's not enough, because you still have chametz, and if you would eat it, you'd certainly be chayav. So the Ramban says that you need to be mafkia your ownership over the chametz. Now, if that be the case, then it's a little bit problematic to say that bittul is a kiyum of mitzvahs tashbisu, because bittul really means at the end of the day that by being mafkia shem chametz, now it's no longer mine. And ultimately, what I'm doing is I'm protecting myself from Bal Yiro Bayim Motzer. Let me explain. There's a two-stage process according to the Ramban. We start with Hafkas Shem Chametz, because he says, Lo Nichale, I don't want this Chametz. And then we're Mafkia Yom Mamon. And the Ramban says, we're able to be Mafkia Yom Mamon because your ownership over the Chametz is only a partial ownership. You only own it as far as the Shem Chametz is concerned. It comes out that really your bittul is not enough. In other words, just the fact that you say, hey, I don't want it to exist, that's not going to do it for you. You got to go the next step in order to protect yourself from Bal Yiro Bayim Motzer. And you have to say, well, now it's not mine. The Torah says that we're making, you know, it's ke'ilu, it's yours. You have ownership over the chametz. We're not sure exactly how that works, but you have ownership over the chametz. And now, says the Ramban, you have to remove your ownership over the chametz. Why is that a mitzvah of tashbisu? According to Tosfos, for example, when I remove my ownership over the chametz, that's not a kiyum of mitzvah of tashbisu. So that's what he has a problem. He doesn't solve this problem.
Who is that?
That's the top of page 18.
No.
And now we get to the next piece in the Ramban. The Ramban has Rabbi Yossi Aglihi. And Rabbi Yossi Aglihi holds that chametz is mutter v'anor. And the question is, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglihi, how does bittul work? Because according to Rabbi Yossi Aglihi, I have full-fledged ownership in choshe mishpat terms over the chametz. I'm allowed to sell it to a guy, I can feed it to my dog. If somebody steals it from me, he violates Gezel. So how do I understand Bittul? Because again, the thesis of the Ramban is that Bittul only works because it's not mine. The Torah makes it as if it's mine. So let's read the Ramban inside. Lo mi boy le Rabbanon, who hold that chametz is asur anah, el afilu l'divrei Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Nevertheless, Bittul operates. So how does Bittul operate according to Rabbi Yosi Haglili? Kevan shenisyayish mimenu. So when you hear the word Yeish, what do you associate Yeish with? What do you say?
Giving up your authority.
Yeah, but Yeish only works. I can't be Messiah on this Gemara or on this Stender. You know, Yeish works on what?
Only something that belongs to you.
No, but this belongs to me. When I said the Stender, I didn't mean it belongs to the LC. I meant, let's say it was my Stender. That's what I meant to say. I didn't point that out. The Gemara is mine. I paid 115 shekel for it. It has to be mine.
No, but you're Yeish.
Yeah, I know. I'm all set of kodos. Okay, fine. But I made a Kenyan Agba. So what I'm saying to you is the following. Can I be Messiah on this Gemara that's mine?
No, it's banned.
No. So again, I'm going to ask my question again. This is just a quiz question. Yeish works for X. What is X? An Aved, correct. Only for an Aved. Now the Ramban is equating Chametz with an Aved. And what he wants to gain by this is explain and justify Bittul according to the Shita of Yosi Aglil. He says, Kevin Shinis Yaish Mimen, Mibnei Isuro. Right? He gives up hope because this Chametz is not worth it for me because it's Asr. Again, Asr here means Asr Machila. Is Yatzamir Shusa. The Bittul is like Yeush. Again, he doesn't call it Yeush. He equates it with Yeush. And he says the same way that Yeush works to be Mafkia my Mammon in the case of Naveda, so too Bittul works in the case of Chametz. Because Chametz is a quasi-Aveda. We have to figure that out. And he says the following. After Bittul, Einbo Din Gezel. And where do we find a similar concept of Yeush? The Gemara says... does everybody here know what sufei te'enim are? Right, those are the parts of the dates on the tree that don't ripen. So the Gemara says that mutar mishum gezel, that anyone can come in and take that away, and he doesn't violate gezel. Why? Because a person is misyayish on these sufei te'enim. He has no value that they're not ripened. Again, a poor person will find something of value with it. And that's called in the language of the Braisa, Bizman She'ein Balabais Makbet Aleihem, meaning the Balabais doesn't care if anyone takes them. Is therefore Mutar Mishum Gezel, and Hefker is Potem in Amase. So the Rabban says that just like in Sufei Te'enim, which as far as I'm concerned, it has no significant value to me, that's called Einim Balabais Makbet Aleihem, therefore Mutar Mishum Gezel. He says with a kal v'chomer, how much more so in chametz, that chametz is yeush, and that's even better than hefker. Why? To lo hader iu zochi be, to ashav ye ki afra v'lo nichale begave. The Ramban is saying that in the case of chametz, because of the isur chametz, he's certainly not going to reacquire ownership over the chametz, and therefore, if it's lo hader iu v'zochi be, then it's absolute hefker. And he makes it into ofar, and that makes it hefker. Now, what is going on over here? What is this mashal of aveda? But the Ramban says that we can equate chametz with an aveda, that just like in an aveda, if you lost something, came in this yayish mimenu, is yotzen mershuso, even if all you did was misyayish and you gave up hope, then it's no longer yours, something that was yours 5 seconds ago. Right, if he declares vayli l'chisorikis, is af chametz bizmano, it's momen ha'avud, it's like lost money. And therefore, it's already an aveda, such that now yeush, just the fact that you give up hope, is enough to remove your ownership.
Why is that? If you can wait till after Pesach, and then
so I'll tell you, Alan, here's the deal. We're going to make a deal. I'm going to read to you what the Rav says according to this tradition, and you're going to explain it. Because I have no clue what's going on. I read this 5 times and I can't figure it out.
Okay.
But you're going to tell me pshat. So let's read it through. It ends here on line 4 on the next page 19, which I think you have. He writes the following. The Ramban wants to understand how could you be mafkia kinyonim, ownership over chametz, when Rabbi Yishmael says hasana kosev kilein v'shusa. And the answer is that even though it's Isuri Anah, and you don't really own it, there's an asana kosev ki'ilu ein b'shusa, which means that you don't really own it, because in Choshen Mishpat terms, it's Isuri Anah. So when the Torah puts it back into your shus, the Torah says that's only if you want to take it back into your shus, but if it's ein rosa b'kiyumo, and you mevatel the chametz like after the ara, then it doesn't go back into your shus, and you don't violate any Isuri. All that makes a lot of sense, and we can now compare chametz to aveda. Why is chametz like an aveda? He says the following. He quotes the Perek Elamitzi. He says, "Gavi aveda lo mitoch ezedin o mafkia miyuchad lechametz shel Pesach." The Ramban is refusing to say now that the modus operandi, you know, the way that you're achieving removing your ownership, is a unique way in chametz. In other words, until we had Rabbi Yossi Aglili in the picture, we assumed that there's a very unique way that does not, you know, cannot be universalized in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat of getting rid of your ownership, terminating your ownership on chametz. And that was Eino Rotze, you know, thanks but I don't want your chametz. That all makes sense because you really don't own the chametz. So there's a new method by which you can be mafkia, you can break up, undermine your ownership. But now the Ramban is saying, no, I'm not going to look at Bittul as a unique method of getting rid of my ownership. I'm going to just point to Yeush. And in the case of an Aveda, if you don't think it's worth anything for you, so you give up on it, that's the language of the Gemara, is Ein Balavais Makpid Aleihem, then your bialis is completely gone. Poof, it disappears into thin air. In other words, the Ramban is saying that just like in Hefker, you could be mafkia your bialis, so through to Yeush you could be mafkia your bialis. Again, there's one major difference. In Hefker, you have a das makta, you give it over to Hefker, you remove your kinyanim. In Yeush, you're just making a statement that, as far as I'm concerned, this is out of my orbit. There's no way I'm going to get it back. And I despair. And if anyone takes it, let him take it.
And if reappears, it's not his.
Yeah, so now the question is, well, what's the difference between Hefker and Yeush? The Rav is assuming that both have the same outcome. You know, the final result is equal. In both cases, you don't own it anymore. But he's saying that in the case of Hefker, I understand how Hefker accomplishes that goal. It removes your bialis. That's called Das Machna. But in the case of Yeush, what happens over here? All he did was declare, I don't have any hope. I despair of getting it back. Mm-hmm. Why? How does that achieve the goal of removing your kinyanim on it? There's no das makne. I mean, all you did was, you know, you gave up hope. So the Rav says, Eich Paul Yeush Bavedo, Yeush Mashlim Shem Avud.
Shame what?
Avud. Let me explain. Avud. The Rav is reformulating the halacha of Aveda. What is an Aveda? He's saying the following. That once an object is lost, it's out of your reshus. Again, you still own it technically, but your ownership is now, how would you say in English, katua? You know, it's kind of cut off. It's truncated. Excellent, truncated. Why? Because the object is not your reshus. You have no access to it. You don't know where to find it. You cannot enjoy it. So that's called out of your reshus. So technically you own it, but you don't have reshus over the object. That's called a shame avud. And what's the significance of the shame avud? I mean, the halachic category of avud. Now there's a new way of completing that shame avud. Once you complete the shame avud, it's completely gone. And you have no reshus, no ownership whatsoever. By what mechanism do you complete the shame avud? And there's a reality here that it's avud legamre, meaning as far as you're concerned, it's gone in an irretrievable way. That's called yeush. Shame avud b'chefetz mafkias hamomen u'bailim. You already at the beginning of the process of being mafkia the bailus, because again, as we said before, it's out of your rishus. But now you declare yeirush, and what that does is it completes the process and it makes it completely avud. So as long as it's only an incomplete shema avud, because you still have hopes to retrieve it and maybe you'll find it, then your bailus still continues to exist. But the very moment that you declare yeirush, then as far as you're concerned, it's avud. The Gemara has something similar. You remember the sugya of Zuta Shalyam, where he drops a ring or whatever he drops at, to the bottom of the sea. And the Gemara says in that case, even if you hold Yesh Shalom Midas Lo Avi Yesh, everybody agrees that Yesh Shalom Midas, in this case, Havi Yesh, because it's Zuta Shalyam. It's called Avudu Mimenu Umi Kol Adam. No one can get access to it. Again, you can hire a professional, you know, deep sea diver, but nobody has access to this ring on the bottom of the sea. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to claim that Yeush takes something that's not Avudu Mikol Adam and makes it into a quasi Avudu Mikol Adam. What does he want to gain by that? Avudu Mikol Adam is a complete shame of it. And the Gemara says that once you have an Avudu Mikol Adam, then forget about Yeush. I didn't even need your Yeush. Anyone could come if he's skilled enough and retrieve the object and keep it for himself.
But that only works in situations where it is actually gone. And Zuto Shoyam means that once it goes down below the surface of the water that you can see, it's literally gone. If it were
correct,
sitting on your table, it's not the same thing, and nothing you can do can make it that
way. So there's a middle of the road here. There's a compromise between two polar extremes. One polar extreme is when the shame of it is objectively complete. And why is it complete? Because it's Avudu Mimenu we call Adam. And once the shame of it is complete, paka baluso, it's no longer his. Then you have another extreme. You have something that's on your table. And if it's on your table, it doesn't have a shame of it. You could be messiah from now until doomsday, but until you mafkir it, it's still yours. In between the two polar extremes is something that's avudu mimenu velo avudu mikol adam, which means that it's not on your table, you don't know where it is, it's somewhere out in the wild blue yonder, but it's avud. Why is it avud? Because you don't know how to get access to it. Now somebody else can find it, so it's not avud mikol adam. In that situation, yeush completes the shame avud in a subjective way. Again, it's not zuta shalyam. In zuta shalyam, the shame avud is complete objectively, because no one can get access to it. In the case of an Aveda, anyone could walk through the streets and find it. It's not lost in that sense. It's lost from its owner. And that creates a shame avud, but it's not a complete shame avud. Why? Because there's a good chance that he'll get it back. And it's accessible. And he's interested in getting it back. So what is the halach of Yeush? Yeush makes it into a kind of avudu mimenu mikol adam. It completes the shame avud. Where do we find that the shame avud removes your bailus? That's going to be the case of Zuta Shalyam. So Zuta Shalyam now serves as a precedent for the concept of shame avud. That the shame avud and the object could remove your bailus. Otherwise, how do we understand Zuta Shalyam? He wasn't mafkir it. There was no dasmak, they didn't sell it to anybody. It fell into the river. And that reality of avud removes his ownership. So anyone can come along and take it. What about a case where I don't know where it is, for me it's lost, but you know where it is, and anyone can get access to it. So in that case, yeish plays a role. And the function of yeish is to complete the shame avud, to make it as if it was objectively lost. So from my perspective, even though I own it, it's lost. I have no hope. I don't hold on. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't something hope.
You don't give up
hope. Yeah, whatever the word is. You know what word I'm looking for.
But how does that make it objectively lost to everybody?
It doesn't. He's only using the halach of objectively lost to prove that in halach there's something called the shame of that removes violence. And now he has a major breakthrough. Again, what removes bailus? Okay, it fell down to the bottom of the sea. Was I mafkir it? Did I, sign a shtar that it's yours and transfer ownership? Nothing. It's just lost. And that's it. So we see that the shame avud, once it's lost, is enough to be mafkia bailus. For Rav Soloveitchik, that's a precedent. Why? Because it means there's a whole new method by which we can remove someone's bailus. It doesn't fit into any of the, you know, the known, well-trodden concepts or categories of removing bailus. There was no das makne, there was no maisekinyan garnished. He wasn't mafkirit. Maybe he's, you know, he rents a deep sea diving equipment. It doesn't matter. It's still avudim many we call avud. Even if we yell and scream, I want to hold on to this. I'm gonna, miracles will happen. I'll find this ring on the bottom of the sea. Doesn't matter. First come, first serve. Whoever goes down and achieves it, it's his.
Is that Ganav in the same way or no?
In a Ganav situation, I don't know. But we're trying to suggest why the Ramban identifies Bittul as Yeush. What's the connection? So in order to understand how the Ramban could identify Bittul as Yeush, we have to first understand how Yeush operates. So he's saying the following. He's saying that what we see from the halacha of Avudah Mimenu we call Adam is that the Shema Ovid Bechefta Mafkia Momen Shabbailah. That's a major breakthrough. He says the following. But what if it's not Avudah Mimenu we call Adam? It's only Avudah Mimenu. Oh, here we need Yeush. What does Yeush tell me? Yeish tells me I'm not going to get it back. So the two situations in which I won't get it back. One is because it's objectively lost for everybody. That's called Zuta Shalyam. And the other is when I decide that I give up all hope. Right? I don't hold out any hope. And that's considered Avuda Legamre. Right? Because as long as he's holding out some hope, it's not really Avud. You know, there's still a chance that he'll find it. But once he gives up hope, then it's considered, as far as he's concerned, avud legamre. Okay. Now let's see how that can help us understand bittul in chometz. So he says the following. Hakinyan shatora nosnalo legami chometz midini de Rabbi Yishmael lo odif me hakinyan shal bailim bidavar shehem avud. Okay. He says that there's an equation here between the Shem Avud of a Cheftza that's lost and the Shem Avud in Chametz, even though I know exactly where the Chametz is. And that operates through the principle of Rabbi Yishmael. When Rabbi Yishmael says that the Torah gives you a kinyan on that Chametz, then that kinyan is equal to the kinyan that a person has on something that's avud, and that's a theoretical kinyan. Well, I shouldn't say a theoretical kinyan, but it's a legal kinyan, right? But it's yotzei mirshuso. In this case, doesn't mean that I don't know where it is. I know exactly where the chometz is, but it's yotzei mirshuso in the sense that I don't have any use for this chometz. Okay, don't ask the cash yet. We'll get to the cash that I'm going to ask you, because I don't understand what the man is talking about. But hopefully you'll understand it and you'll enlighten me. So again, he says that what's Rabbi Yishmael's mechanism here? The mechanics of Rabbi Yishmael is that since the chametz is not in any way helpful for me, I can't benefit from it, therefore it's considered a davar avud. You hear the equation. This is the leap of faith. He's saying, just like a Dover Ovid is not accessible to me, I have no clue where it is, and therefore I get no benefits out of it. Therefore it already begins to remove my bilis over it. So too in the case of a piece of chametz, if he can't benefit from it, then it's already lost for him. Again, lost not in the physical reality, but lost in the sense of what benefit can he get from it. And therefore, Mimela, when the Torah says we're going to put it back into your rishus, the Torah is saying that you have a dovra avud and we're putting it back into your rishus. Okay, it's back in my rishus. Now, what do I do with this? How do I achieve hafkas bailus? Well, if the equation is between chametz and a dovra avud, how do you achieve a hafkas bailus and a dovra avud? Yeah. Through yeish. So the same thing applies here. Bittul is yeish. Bittul means, as far as I'm concerned, I don't hold out any hopes of getting any benefit from it. And therefore he says the following. If Yeush Moel Afkia Bailus Bidovash and Nevad, then Gam Bittul Mafkia Bailus, because Chometz is considered a Dovar and Nevad. Okay, now we're ready for the bomb question. Rabbo said, does this make any sense? Hello, anybody home?
What?
I thought you would ask the question. I was even afraid to read this to you because I thought you would pounce on me.
Well,
no wells over here. I need just three words. I mean, that's all.
But bito mafkir balu.
This makes no sense. This whole presentation is to explain who's Shita Rabbo Sai. Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What does Rabbi Yossi Aglili hold? Chavitz is mutar b'ana.
Okay.
I'm totally lost here. Rabbi Yishmael's premise is Shnei Dvarim Eiv Rishus Shel Adam. Right? I dig a bar in Rishus Rab. Do I own the bar? You can't take over ownership over Rishus Rab. Chametz. Do I own the chametz? I don't own the chametz. Why don't I own the chametz? Because it's also by law. And therefore the Torah puts back into my Rishus. It's basically a Dover Avud. And now I have to be Messiah. I have to declare Bittul. That's wonderful, but it doesn't explain Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that chametz is mutar b'ano, which means that I own full-fledged ownership in the chametz. I can sell it. I can transfer ownership to someone else over the chametz. So now, what are you going to tell me? It's a davar avud. Why is it davar avud?
Because it's still not
supreme. It's machila, but that doesn't make it into a davar avud. I can do a lot of things with chametz. If I have a bottle of whiskey and you're willing to pay me, not you, but a guy, let's say, is willing to pay me $250 for a bottle of whiskey, that's not a davar avud.
But it's also b'shuscha also.
It's what?
It's also b'shuscha. It's being within your resources. I'm by your by let's say.
So that makes it into a davar avud?
Can't have it.
Maybe that's the answer to this problem, but I don't cop it yet. Again, I can benefit from this chametz, correct? So in what sense is it mafkir bailus? Why is it called this dover of? So you're saying bal yirah b'yimotze,
right?
Let's think about that. I don't know about this.
Rabbi Shmuel is saying.
Not Rabbi Shmuel.
I'm asking you.
Oh, Rabbi Shmuel. I'm sorry. I tell you.
You're saying Rabbi Shmuel was not talking to Rabbi Yossi.
Correct. They're two different shitas because the whole premise of the Ramban is that Rabbi Shmuel is based on Isuri Anoy and Mama. And therefore, when the Torah puts it back into Yeshus, the Torah says, do you want it or do you not want it? And that's what Bittul operates. But to call it a Dover Avud, and therefore, you know, Yeish works, and Bittul is Yeish, that would only make sense if it's a Dover Avud. But if it's Mutabah Noah, now, Alan is asking about Bal Yirah B'Yimotze. I'm pleading the fifth over here because I don't know how Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What does he say? It's Mutar B'Ano. Yeah. See, for this we have to learn the second parak. How does Rabbi Yossi Aglili hold the Chametz is Asur B'Achilo, but it's Mutar B'Ano? Second, what is Rabbi Yossi Aglili? I'm trying to remember, this is a long time ago. Rabbi Yossi Aglili. If somebody doesn't mind just opening up the second parak there, I think it's on Chav Tes. Let's just see. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, one second here. Does it work according to I was hoping that we had this work according to me. Let's see, just one second. Sam, you have the Ramban in front of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the two pages.
What's the language of the Ramban here? I'll give it right back to you. I have the Ramban here.
Just
no problem. 1 second. Fine. A feeler of Yossi Aglili. Wow. He quotes in the footnote that according to the Shagas Aryeh, Bittul doesn't work according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Interesting.
It doesn't work because...
See his footnote number one over here.
It doesn't work because why?
Hey, Sam, take this back. What?
Why doesn't it work today?
I guess he's saying because if Bittul is predicated on Rabbi Yishmael,
right,
there's no way you can reconcile Rabbi Yishmael with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because the whole premise of Rabbi Yishmael is that it's not yours. Why? Because it's also about not. So then to add Bittul, that Bittul's based on Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I'm sorry, Bittul's based on Rabbi Yishmael, that Asana Kosmiki Ilay Brishus, but you don't really own it, that doesn't make any sense according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Because Chometz is Mutabah No. So the Rav is trying to equate Chometz with Aveda.
When the Torah takes it out of your possession, before it brings it back, it's an Aveda.
So yeah, but why? What do you mean when the Torah takes it out of your possession? The Torah says I'm allowed to sell it, I'm allowed to give it to my dog, I can use it as shoe polish, I don't know what I do with chometz. That's not out of my possession. So Alan points out, what about Bal Yerovai Matzai? So we have to figure out in the sugya of Yossi Aglili where Bal Yerovai Matzai fits into the picture. I'm not sure. I mean, did you find Rabbi Yossi Aglili by any chance?
It seems to put some.
If somebody could be kind enough to find Rabbi Yossi Aglili.
You can say that it's a contradiction. You can't have yours, but you can have somebody else.
Mitch, you have it?
It's on the first line of Chav Ches.
Chav Ches. Oh, I said Chav Ches. Oh, it's on Chav Ches.
You can assume that it's on.
And what does the Gemara say? Just quotes Rabbi Yossi Aglili?
Zira of Yossi Aglili, a few Tosano Mishra. He's referring back to the Mishnah.
But give me a second, you know, I'll just open
it
up.
Did you say Kafet?
Yeah.
Why not assume that
Mutabana
is not
I
yours?
I don't have it in this Gemara.
Mutabana is somebody else's.
Is somebody, what do you mean somebody else? He's talking about his own chametz.
Your own chametz is Mutabana? Yeah. Or you're allowed to have Anor from some chametz?
No, you're allowed to have Anor from your own chametz.
Which contradicts Bal Yerovai Matzai, right?
That's what Alan was asking me. The Gemara itself talks about this, but I don't remember where the sugi is.
Unless it's not yours.
Chof Gimel?
Yeah, that's what the Ramban says.
And what does it say there? Do you have the Gemara?
It's forgotten
in your Bible. You don't have to read that. Wait, say it a little louder because I can't
hear. This is what it's talking about.
This is on Chav Gimel?
Chav Gimel with
Rabbi, are you convinced that you can
again,
have
well,
from
I'm
your
not convinced
Chometz?
Of anything, Sam. Until we open up the Gemara, I plead the 50. I'm sorry, I'm not holding on Chav Gimel. But can you give me a Gemara?
No.
Yeah, I'll borrow your Gemara here for a second.
You can't take it back.
I promise I won't steal it.
You can't use it as a salve, right?
Why?
It's also
Manoch.
How much you not about
to eat?
No,
I don't know.
Well,
you
take it
as
yours.
No.
Is, oh, this is in the sugya of Chizki and Rabbi Yambo. Okay, this
I'm
I have some framework
bakery,
here.
Right?
Right.
You don't buy Deutsche Bakery because also Manoch.
This is what? This is the art school?
Even if you don't, it's not yours.
Okay, let's see if he
you
says
you can't pass by a Deutsche Bakery.
Is it the right page for that?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's on the right. I'll try to sort that out. Just give me a second. Vitanya.
Sure.
Tanya, you gotta get used to this. Okay.
Yeah.
You'll say
clearly. I'm sure I'm not a rabbi. I can say anything.
Yeah.
It's about
three.
Like
roll
of thumb.
No. You can't have
so
a
roll of thumb. So Rabbi Yossi, clearly, hey, Chum, it's awesome.
I don't know.
Call Shiva.
I don't know.
Shiny, awesome. You don't call it a roll of thumb.
I hope this is the ultimate.
Yes,
sir. Can I
have
enough?
Snowing is.
Shalcha Yehei. To you means that you can benefit from the chametz.
You can't sit on it. You can't use a bathroom in the church.
You roll the chah.
You can't use the bathroom in the church.
No. I mean, if a church is over there, you can't go in there for the rain. To protect yourself from the rain.
Or maybe he has to.
So he learns, that the heter adno is derived from the word lecha.
You can't use it for shade.
Okay, so now what about? So what?
Okay.
So what part of the white
box is going to be it. No sugar.
Just chew it, it's very hard.
I don't know where it is. It's got to be right here, no?
Sugar.
You said there's no sugar.
Whatever it's called, carcinogens.
Omar Kro. You are. And that's not
right. Dying habits, right?
I'm trying to understand how I'm fitting the idea of being a kid, violence, going to the upstairs, leaves, and clothes, he holds in your home to my nose.
Right.
So I see in a different discussion in Hare Kedem, without measuring, basically, he tries to understand nafkamina, and what does it mean, Hano and Chametz on Pesach? Is it that I, for instance, it's only a sugar where you're letting maybe Chametz to a behemoth, maybe to somebody else's behemoth and not my behemoth? And he tries to between the Magen Avraham and somebody else, where he has two ways of looking at it. Is the Hanah that I'm getting Hanah by the fact that I'm showing Bailus over this Chametz, which is a form of Hanah, or which means that it has to be mine to get the Hanah, or is it the Hanah that I'm being Nahana Behema, and I give him the Chametz, and that could be Chametz that's not mine, which means I can actually mafkia my Rishus over it and still be able to have Heter Hanah from the Chametz. So basically, it could be in a position where you can understand why I don't have Bailus, I've done Bittul, I've done Hefker, whatever. But I can still get enough from the Chametz by the virtue of the fact that I'm being machal to Behema, and Behema is being nene from the Chametz.
Right, but now I'm asking a different question. Before he's mevatel's Chametz, right? He owns the Chametz. He can benefit from the Chametz, according to Rav Yosef Glil. How does Bittul work? Meaning, if you can benefit from the Chametz, Chametz is yours. The whole premise of Bittul, according to the Rabban, based on Rabbi Shmuel, is that you don't own the Chometz.
Right, so I'm saying, if Rabbi Yisrael's belief is that the form of Hanah you're allowed to get is where I don't own it, but I'm given to a behemoth, right? Rabbi Shmuel would say, you can't even do that, right? Rabbi Yossi would say, I don't own it. I did Bittul. I took away my bailus. But there's still a form, according to the least way the Magen Avraham learns this, there's still a form of Hanah that I could derive from it. Rabbi Yossi would be Makir, but no one else would, which is to give it to Behemoth, and he's getting the Behemoth's getting Hanah, and that's the form of Hanah that the Torah says, the Rabbi Yossi says you can do, and then everyone else says you can't. Bailus, he doesn't have anymore. He did Bittul. I'm thinking whether I can fit this.
I was just trying to figure out how Bittul works.
So it's not yours.
He calls it a shame of, you know, what is a shame of?
He says, Yisrael, no, ain't no ala ba'ilim, ela al zeh shehu mahane le behema, lo fi zeh ain't nafkemine le mishaya hachomet.
No, I understand what he's saying, but how do we understand Rabbi Shmuel? Does Rabbi Shmuel make sense according to Rabbi Yosef Glili? And then Alan's question, which I'm sure is addressed right here in front of my eyes, I'm just not finding it.
Does Rabbi Shmuel have to make sense of
Rabbi Yosef Glili? No, I would assume, I don't have a doubt in my mind that Rabbi Yosef Glili is antithetical, so to speak. It's mutually exclusive from Rabbi Shmuel. But the Ramban says that Bittul is based on Rabbi Shmuel, so how do you justify Bittul? Shaikh Sari is bothered by that, so we're in good company. Right. I mean, the Shaikh Sari, Rabbi Sazal Meltzer writes that the Shaikh Sari was unaware of this Ramban. And therefore he, just on his own logic, he came to the compelling conclusion that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, Bittul is inoperative. But I'm trying to understand the mechanics of Bittul according to Ramban in Rabbi Yosef Glili, and he equates it with Yeush, and Rav Salveitch doesn't seem to have a problem with this. He seems to be very satisfied with this explanation that it has a shame of it. But why does it have a shame of it? I got the Chavit sitting on my table, it's not Ovud, and I can sell it to a guy. Well, why is it Ovud? To what sense is my bialus? You know, Ovud means my bialus is incomplete. Here, I can't eat it. Okay, fine. But that doesn't mean my bialus is incomplete. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglud, if a man gives a woman chametz on Pesach, and he hareh at mekudeshes, she be mekudesh. Because he owns it, she benefits from it. Right? and it's mutar by
Noach. You're still dodging what Bali Matzah means.
Right, and that I don't understand. Faker, you know, the paradox here is that the Pasuk Bal Yirah is the source for Rabbi Yosef Glili to be Mater Chometz Bar Noach. Because the Torah says Shalcha, which means that it's yours. So Rabbi Yosef Glili says if it's yours, it must be Mutar Bar Noach. And the Gemara goes through a whole thing here. What are the Rabbanan going to do with the word Lecha? The Gemara thinks that the drush of Rabbi Yosef Glili is absolutely some zach. It makes a lot of sense. And therefore Lecha means it is yours. But I'm just wondering, if it's yours, so why do you have to get rid of it? You're telling me it's mutar by Noah? Let me just see. He has a footnote in 45. We showed him find the Gemara's answer insufficient. I don't know what this is. Gemara's challenge. Okay, this is too complicated for me. It could be the answer is here in the footnote number 45. If you can take that footnote and explain it.
It says that the Torah took it out of your possession.
And you say, I don't care. I want it back.
Where did it go? Is that equivalent to Zuto Shoyam?
No, I'm saying, Yosef, I agree with you according to the Chachamim. Before we get to Rabbi Yosef Agli, the Torah took it out of your possession. It's like Zuto Shalyam. There's nothing you can do for this Chomet. That equation between Chomet and Avud, in the case of Zuto Shalyam, is a perfect equation. But it's all predicated on one assumption, that this Chomet is inaccessible to you, you can't benefit from it, it's on the bottom of the sea. That's true according to Chachamim, which they hold that Chomet is also no. But how do you justify that according to Rabbi Yosef Agli? So Alan says the answer to that lies in Lo Yiro Lo Yimotze, but I don't know exactly if I could see someone who says what does Bal Yiro Lo Yimotze mean according to Yossi Agrimi if Chavitz is Mutar Bar Noach. So what's Lo Yiro Lecha?
You can have.
It's a paradox. I mean, it comes out that on the one hand, I'm allowed to have Hanno, but on the other hand, the Torah says I got to get rid of it. It's very strange.
But you could get Hanno from it in some way that doesn't.
Right, that doesn't violate. I mean, like, the Chometz is out, wherever it is.
That's right. But you're not seeing it.
That's the question. Is that what Rabbi Yosef Glili
holds? So you're allowed to own it. That's what you're saying.
Right. What if you have stock in it?
Yeah, are you allowed to own it?
Yeah, Rabbi Yosef whole basis is that you are owner. You're an owner of Chometz. Right. Yeah. And therefore the Torah wants it out of your rishus, but you own it.
Yeah,
and if you continue to own it, but it's out of your rishus, then somehow you can benefit from it. You know, let's say you have a.
Rishus means just out of my property.
I don't know.
Out of my own.
That's a big problem because Lechora. What does that mean? It's out of your rishus if you own it and you could have benefit from it. I mean, I don't understand the modus vivendi. You know, there's something missing in the mitzvahs. No, I don't know. How does this work? It's out of my rishus. I don't violate by Rabbi Matzah. Maybe he takes by Rabbi Matzah in a very literal kind of way. I mean, literally
out of your immediate property,
right,
where you are, within your dollar down.
Right, but I can tell the guy, you know, go ahead and it's out.
It can be on my property a mile away, just not over here.
Well, your property, what?
Property
a mile away.
No, I don't think so. Because that's already your rishus. Yeah, well, let's say you put it in a makom hefker. I don't know. You put it out in an agam. You're out in the street.
Or somebody
so it. Now I can sell to a guy without violating by Rabbi Matzah, and I'm benefiting from it because the Torah says I'm allowed to benefit from the chometz.
Yeah, what if you have your stock in a flour company? In general mills.
You got a major problem according to Chachamim.
Yeah, but according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, you would be allowed to have.
Maybe.
That's what I'm trying to say is that Bal Yiro Matzah only puts a pagam in your bios. It doesn't destroy your bios altogether.
Right.
It puts a pagam in, and that's good enough. To
make it over. I don't know. Maybe that's what the Rav means, that if it's out of your domain or something,
right,
it's not sitting in your backyard, then it's already considered avud.
Right.
But it's still very strange, because if I can sell it or I can benefit from it, you know, if I have a dog and I train my dog to go out into Rishus HaRav and eat chametz, you know, saying, so I can, if I can feed my dog according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, maybe outside of my domain, I don't know.
Yes,
again, this is all very tentative. We have to we have to, the sugya itself is going to address this. I just don't know right
it,
now
it
where
it didn't bother you. If not according to what you said, really, if it were after it's no longer yours and the Torah makes it that it is yours to be over,
no, that,
that doesn't bother you.
That doesn't bother me. Why? Because I don't really have ownership on it. It's only the Torah says it's yours as far as Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzi is concerned, meaning you have to decide to reject it, and that's all
spiritual.
So that I can understand, because it's all predicated, as I said over and over again, on the fact that Isuri had not in a mamon, and I don't really own it. But in the case of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I do own it.
Yeah,
now, let's say, for example, if I owe you a debt of 1,000, I can pay you up according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili with chametz that's worth 1,000.
Yeah, fine.
I have full fledged ownership of it. So where's Bittul here? Bittul is not your classic Hafkas moment. Again, and then we're back to Tosis, and the Ramban objects to Tosis for five different reasons.
Right.
Bittul is not Hafkas moment. It's only this din of Hasan Hakas of Kilei Rishu. So that's where Bittul fits in. There's a little bit of a crack here for Bittul to fit in. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if Chometz is Mutar Ba'Noah, then it's a full-fledged mama. You own it, you can make Hadash and Isha with it, you can sell it, you can share. Anything
but,
is allowed.
But except it's not, you're not allowed to have it where you were over on Bal Yiro or Bal Yimotzi.
Well,
so that's a problem.
Well, again, you know, what is Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzi in this case? You know, according to the Chachamim, Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzi basically means you have to destroy the Chometz. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Torah says in the same breath that of Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzi that it's lachan, you can benefit from.
Right.
So,
but it means it can't be on your, it can't be in your rishus.
Maybe that's what
so
it means. I just would love to see that.
Nothing.
And even again, if it's not my rishus, I still own it. I still have to be mafkia my bailus.
Yeah.
So how does Bittul work? Just 1 second.
Your bias is
just 1 second. I had a flash for a second, but I lost it. Maybe what he's saying is a foul. Three low. So how are you going to move off key bias on something that's yours? I thought I had something, but it went too fast.
I think this is what you're saying. When, without producing Aglili, you're saying the Rabban that the Torah puts it in your rishus, but only much in your rishus to be over on it, but nothing more than that. You can't sell it, right? So we see that.
Kort Chachamim.
Yeah, Kort Chachamim. Kort Chachamim. The amount of Bal Yiro what is required for Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzi is separate from your ability to have hanah on it. It's something different than that, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. What are they giving you back? They're giving you back something
that has no value.
That's right. It has nothing. So it's got to be something that's intrinsically different than bialis by itself. Than
right.
Regular
bialis. Right, so, sure.
That's right. So
when he calls it a bialis b'shem,
whatever it is, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is just the other way around. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you have full bialis, except you don't have Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzi. You don't have the ability to have it on your physically in your possession, and where you can see it, or it's in your property. So it's just the opposite. It's the flip of what the Rabbanim are saying.
Well, once it becomes mutabah, no, I don't understand how Bittul is going to operate. You can't call it avud if it's mutabah, no.
But it still can't be in your physical possession. And the rabbanim do the opposite around. They say we put it back in your physical possession, but you can't have a no.
Well, the fact that I can't keep it in my physical possession, that already makes it avud.
That's
it's already
right.
Outside of my domain.
Right.
And now
right.
All I have to do is be Messiah, which
right.
Is called
right. Right, exactly.
I guess that makes a lot more sense.
What
is he saying? Wait just 1 second. If it's out, can't keep it around. The word avud here is interpreted as it's out of my rishus, meaning it's out of my domain. I don't have it on my property.
Right.
That makes it avud. I can benefit from it, even if it's not on my property. but it's still avos. I guess you'd say like this, again, it's a little balbatish, but what we're saying is that the use of the chametz is limited, it's severely limited.
It's a begamin.
So even though theoretically you could, it's like an aveda in the sense that just like an aveda, you know, until you find it, what benefit can you derive from this aveda? Here also, your benefit, even though you're allowed to benefit from it, is very restricted. And in that sense, your ownership is incomplete. You know, that's what he calls an aveda. You're as soon as you have limited access, again, in the case of aveda, you have no access. But in this case, you have limited access, and you have to stand on a, you know, do somersaults in the air in order to benefit from the chametz, because it's nowhere to be found in within your possession. Therefore, your bilus is incomplete. You have such a restriction in terms of the use of this chametz. Number one, it's also bakhila. Number two, it's got to be evicted. You know, you have to make sure that it's outside of your rishus. How much access do you have to the chametz? You know, theoretically, you have access to the chametz. More than theoretically. I mean, you can sell the chametz and get money for it because you own it. You can feed it to your dog. But it's not anywhere to be found. And if it's not anywhere to be found, then it's ovud.
Right.
It's a little balabatish.
What about
I don't know. Okay, let's see if we... I tell you what.
Okay.
Let's take a few minutes and look at the Seder HaOruch. Because again, as I told you, I never seem to fit this in. You know, so let's see if we can fit this in. So, B'li Neder, I'm going to try to work in this. If everybody can work here on page 19 and maybe we'll look up the sugya of Rabbi Yossi Aglili again on Daf Chav Gimel and see what we can find.
You should do the Seder HaOruch first.
I don't want it to undermine the Seder, if you know.
Right. Well, but if you did that, then you make some saving that.
So again, let's go over what we said already, but I think now we're a little bit clearer on Tav Chav Aleph. As far as who should be reading the Haggadah for whom, and he sets up two different dinim over here. He says that one din is Shomei Ka'ona, and everybody can listen to what I say. If I'm the Bala Kriya, you know, I'm the Masadaris Seder. And on the contrary, if everybody listens to what I say, then it's Barov HaMajus Melech. But there's another din. And the other din is Vigadita Labincha. So he gives this vision of this scenario where there are many people sitting around the Seder table, and one person is reading the Haggadah. But there's also, let's say you have your son and grandson are at the table. Well, let's say you have guests at the Seder table, right? You have a father-son combination. So he says, as far as a father-son is concerned, the Torah says Vigadita Labincha. And here we have a whole, this is not what you call an amira. No, it's when do we say Shomei Ka'ona, and we could all link up and join in one amira. That's when you have a mitzvah like bracha or kiddush. That's an amiras dvarim, an amiras habracha. But that's not what Haggadah is. Haggadah is not amira. Haggadah is to educate, to respond. There are questions, and you respond to those questions. And if the child doesn't ask his own questions, we'll feed him the questions. But there has to be a relationship between a father and son called Vigadita Labincha. And therefore, he says here in number tes on the bottom of this page, Min haroi sha'av bi'atzmo yikayim mitzvahs Vigadita Labincha. He should directly transmit the Haggadah to his son. And therefore, Kishahav Ubino Mesivim, they're there together, Bachabura Gedola. And as far as the, you know, 99% of the Chabura, one person will read the Haggadah for everybody else, but you have a father and son at one corner, Ba Orech HaSeder, for the 99% or whatever percentage of people, is all the Mesubim, that's fine. They can be Yotzimidin Shomer Ka'onen. As far as they're concerned, Kriyas HaGadah is nothing more than an Amira and a Kriya, and we can apply the principle of Shomei Ka'ona. We might even prefer that they listen and create what's called Barova Majus Melech. But as far as the father is concerned, that's a different mitzvah. That's a mitzvah of Igadata. He calls it a mitzvah Sipur. And Sipur requires an intimate relationship between the father and the son, where the father is presenting the answers to the son's questions. And in such a case, as far as the father and son, he should not be relying on the Misader Es HaSeder. And here we're going to call it Mitzvah Bo Yosef B'Shlucho. Lefianis Daiti, I don't know if you have to mention Mitzvah Bo Yosef B'Shlucho. I think it's much more profound than Mitzvah Bo Yosef B'Shlucho. And the answer is, it's Haggadah. Haggadah is like a dialogue between the father and the son. A dialogue does not lend itself to Shomei Ka'ona.
Yeah, but it could be a minimum. It could be one sentence.
Maybe. Well, maybe we have to define exactly what's included in the mitzvah of Haggadah. Is it just one sentence, or is it A, B, C, and D? Do you follow what I mean? We may need to explain the matzah and the maror. That's from Gamliel. We might need kiddush. If you all the kiddush is an integral part of the Haggadah. You have the avonim hayinu, which is what is it called? Maskel Magnus, Messiah b'shvat. Or then you have the drush of Arami Ovid Avi. So all these different elements make up one central, one indivisible mitzvah called Haggadah. And they're all included under Vigadat Levincha. So you have Shelo Tshuva, and I give you four answers to four questions. I mean, this is all part of an entire constellation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Haggadah. Again, if you want to get up to Dayenu, you know, then I don't care if you sing Dayenu or swing Dayenu. You just listen to Dayenu, and that's good enough. But if you're talking about the critical elements that are absolutely indispensable in the case of Igadat Levincha, then he says, don't send the Shliach for that. What we need is that you listen, that you yourself personally transmit the answers to the questions that the child has because of your role as the father. If you take a look at footnote number 25, he says, would Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso apply to the mitzvah of Igadat Levincha? We have an issue called mitzvahs aseh. Is there shlichus for mitzvahs aseh? So he says the following. Tosus Rid in Masechet Kiddushin says that a mitzvah shebegufo is ein maisa shlichus mesiaches lamashaleach klal. So I can't send you to jump into a mikveh for me. That's a mitzvah shebegufo. Or if I have to put on tefillin or sit in a sukkah, that's a mitzvah shebegufo. There's no shlichus. Right. If you apply that logic or those standards of the Tosus Rid to Vigadat Levincha, Vigadat Levincha is also a mitzvah shebegufo. The Torah tells me that I, as a father, have to transmit to my son.
And a mitzvah shebegufo, because the dvarim is not a ma'aseh.
Why not? I would say that a dibur is also considered a ma'aseh.
If your reason, I'm sorry.
Okay, if you're going to say that, then you run into a problem by Megillah, by the Mandamer that holds that Anoshim, the mitzvah of Anoshim is Kriya Samegillah. And if that's the case, then you can't be Yosef with one person.
Well, that's where Shomei Ka'ona comes in, right? Shomei Ka'ona means that you're listening and it's as if you responded. But again, in this case, I have to answer the questions of my son. I have to do that personally. That's a mitzvah shebegufo. Sam, what do you say?
Okay, so there's something here in terms of philosophy. There's contrast with Makkah. Everybody feels that Makkah you can do it through a shliach, right? Because, so to speak...
What was the word? Maga?
Fence on
the roof. Okay? Right.
Because the reasoning is that the philosophy is that God wants there to be a gate there, right? So, in Vegata Levincha, the question is, what does God want? Does God want you to talk, or does God want you to make sure that your son knows it?
I see. But very good.
Gagata is a statement.
Right, he's assuming.
And Sisa Maga is also...
Right, no,
statement,
but
you should do it.
But we understand that Vasisa Makeh is only the asiyah itself is just a hechatimtza, but you know it's not
and
your
you're
personal.
You're assuming that means that right, you should tell, a, rather right. your son should know it.
Right, because there's a personal give and take. You know, there's a shelo tshuva. You know, he asks me, and I pass it on. It's almost like a mesorah.
Asking it doesn't say in the Torah. That's a later thing.
But I'm just okay. saying that this principle of igadata, that you know the chiyishal, how does it say the pasuk chiyishal bincha lemali whatever the pasuk says over there. So that means that there's a direct connection here, a relationship between the father who's answering the questions of his son. He classifies that or describes that as a mitzvah sheva gufo. That's according to Tosus Rit. However, the Ktzos HaChoshen has a different opinion. He holds that even in the case of a mitzvah shebegufo, we still apply the principle of shlichus. The afa mitzvah shebegufo minon maisa shlichus misyaches l'mishaleh. Mikol makom, ein yotzin yidei chova b'mitzvah shebegufo al yidei shliach l'fish atfilin lohunach al rosho. In other words, according to the Ktzos, it's not because of the nature of the mitzvah as a mitzvah sheva gufo that I can't appoint a shliach. His shlichus will relate to me, and if I could be. But the problem is that the Torah requires that the shliach be on my goof. And if it's on his goof, it's not on my goof.
Right.
And he says the following, well, those shlichus could work for a maisa, and the maisa of the shliach could relate to the mishaleach, but it can't. The goof of the shliach is not the goof of the mishaleach. Ulefizeh, the mitzvah v'igadata l'bincha mistaber. Okay, let's see if we can figure this one out. She'ein chiyuv shepiv mamish yisaper l'bino,
which is what we thought up until now.
V'day bozeh she'hamaisa sipur yisyaches elov. V'lachein yochel l'kayim a mitzvah al yedei shliach. Let's see if we can understand this. He's saying that we're talking about a maisa sipur. It's a halachic category of a maisa sipur. It's not what we said before, that intimate relationship between the father and the son. It just needs a maisa sipur. So all you need is that the maisa sipur relate back to the father, to the mishaleach, and that we could operate according to the ksos within the purview of shlichus. Where do we have a hafkas shlichus? That's when the mitzvah is on the goof. Physically, it has to be located on the goof. So let's say, for example, the ktsos in Netilas lulav. I can't send you as my shlich to take the lulav for me because the lulav has to be in my hand. That's part of the mitzvah. And where would the ktsos say? Oh, so that's as far as the lulav is concerned. The same thing would apply to tefillin, that tefillin have to be on my goof, and therefore the fact that he's my shliach. Okay, so the maisa hanocha is relates to me as the mishaleach, but there's more to tefillin than just the maisa hanocha. We need also that the tefillin be on your goof.
So and that we don't have. Can on your goof. You can tell somebody, put tefillin on me.
Right, that's not a problem. My problem is, can I ask you to put tefillin on your goof? And the ktzos says one thing, and the ktzos, I mean, both of them agree that I cannot, but the ktzos gives one explanation, and the ktzos read gives a totally different explanation. Ktzos read says that the Torah requires that I implement the mitzvah with my goof. It's not just a relationship between your mitzvah and your mice and mine. It means my goof has to be personally involved in the mitzvah. The Ktzos says that mitzvah shebegufo means that the location of the mitzvah is on my goof. And therefore, if it's on your goof, you could be a shliach from now till Mashiach time, but it's not on my goof. And that's not a kiyum mitzvah. So wait, just let me finish. So he's claiming that the afkamina between the Ktzos and the Tosfos Rid is going to be the case of igadata to l'bincha. Let's try to understand. If we take the position of the Tosus Rid, then it becomes a mitzvah sheba gufo. In other words, you need to do the maisas, you need to do the maisa with your goof. And therefore, just 1 second, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to clarify this and see if it makes any sense to me. And then you can tell me if it makes sense to you, but I just want to know if it makes sense to me. That in the case of Havigat Lebincha, why? Let me just think. It's a mitzvah sheba gufo, because my goof has to be involved in it. I have to take the lulav, I have to sit in the sukkah, I have to put on the tefillin. It's my goof that's doing the maisa. And here also, the Torah defines this, according to his explanation, as that my goof is doing the maisa sikur, the maisa agadah. But according to the ksos, it's only a question of location. So the tefillin has to be on my goof, but in the case of sipur, nothing has to be on my goof. You know, it's only a question of my maisa, and a maisa sheba gufo can lend itself to shlichus, which means that his maisa is considered my maisa al-pindin. It's as if halachically, legally, I did the maisa, then that's okay. Even if it's a maisa sheba gufo, that's okay. The only limitation, according to ksos, is when you need the mitzvah to be fulfilled on top of the goof, on top of your goof, right? The tefillin have to be on top of your head, and your body has to be in the sukkah, right? So it's your body. The fact that his body is in the sukkah is not a kiyum mitzvah. My body has to take the lulav. That's the way the ketzos would understand it. But in the case of Vigarita, there's no requirement that the Haggadah has to be on my goof, that my pair has to be Magid. I just have to make sure that I'm fulfilling my Vigarita. I can fulfill my Vigarita through the mechanics of a Shliach. But in the case of the Tosus Rid, since the Tosus Rid says that once it's a mitzvah Sheva Gufo, I cannot fall back, I cannot utilize Shlichus, so that there's no way that a Maisa Sheba Guf could relate to me. So where does Shlichus operate? Let's see. Bedikas Chametz, right? We know that you can send a Shliach for Bedikas Chametz. How would the Tosus Rid explain that? See, according to the Ketzos, I have no problem. Because the Ketzos is going to say that there's a Maisa Bedika, and the Shliach's Maisa Bedika relates to me. But according to Tosus Rid, if it's a Mitzvah Sheba Gufo, so the Tosus Rid is going to have to say no. Bedika is not a mitzvah Sheba Gufo. Why? Because the Torah is saying that the bias is machayev, that the bias be boduk. That's my mitzvah. So if the mitzvah is inherent in the bias, then it's not a mitzvah Sheba Gufo. You see, the ketzos here is a lot easier, because the ketzos would say that there's no action that in other words, his bedika is on my bias. So that's exactly what I want. That's like the case that Sam, you mentioned. He puts tefillin on my bias, on my goof. That's fine.
What about Shmiya, Rabbi? What about Shmiya?
Shmiya?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say the fact that Shmiya, according to Tosfos Rid, is going to be a problem. Because unless you apply the principle of Shomer Ka'ona, which means that you yourself were the one... Right. Well, no, we're talking about Shmiya or Kriya. It's like, let's go.
Let's go. I'm making a Shmiya for Shmiya.
You listen to Megillah.
Right. So in the case,
you listen to Megillah for me. I'm
right.
Not going to.
In the case of Kriya, I understand, right? Because Kriya means that I'm listening, and the Torah says that my listening makes me into a Kore.
Right.
So that's good according to both the Tosfos Rid and the Ketzos. But let's say the mitzvah Shmiya, does Shmiya lend itself to Shlichus?
Yeah. What about for like Kia Shofar?
Right, so you can't send the shliach for someone to hear it. It's again, according to Tosfos Rid, it's a mitzvah sheba gufo, and according to the ketzos, it means that the sounds have to go into my ear. If they go into your ear, then that's not considered my shliach. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Thank you very much.
So why did you say that?
Says Ladas Akzos Shapir Nogin Belel Pesach Shaben Meisivets Laviv Afliach Nesu Vegam Kshesh Lo Ben Asav Mesapil Nechto Vitiz Mitzrayim Afsha Av Yesh Lo Mitzvah Natol Sapir Libno Biyitzis Mitzrayim Mikomakol Yochel Lekayim Mitzvah Zu al yidei shliach.
See, but he can't, because since the av is the one that has to be misaper, that means he has to hear the question and process it and give an answer to that question. So you can't make a shliach for that, just like you can't make a shliach for hearing the shofar. For the same reason, it's got to bunk around in your mind and kind of come out with the answer.
I mean, you can't have someone like relay the question to him. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'm saying, right. In other words, you have to